Happy Lunar New Year! Celebrate with SBS again this year with our offering of movies, podcasts, and more. Search online for SBS LNY to find out more.
You're listening to SBS News.
This week marks the fourth anniversary of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, which triggered Europe's deadliest conflict since World War II. Russian President Vladimir Putin claimed it was an operation to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine.
Ratified by the Russian Parliament on February the 22nd, I decided to conduct a special military operation. It aims to protect people who have been bullied and subjected to genocide by the Kiev regime for 8 years. For that, we will strive to demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine, and will bring to justice those who committed multiple bloody crimes against civilians, including Russian citizens.
Russian forces have killed tens of thousands of Ukrainian civilians and destroyed Ukrainian cities. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers on both sides have died or been wounded. In the war's first year, Ukraine forced back the Russian offensive at the gates of Kiev and reclaimed swathes of occupied land. But since then, Moscow has made slow but relentless gains in costly battles along a 1,200-kilometer front. At the end of last year, after a round of talks, US President Donald Trump announced peace was within their grasp.
We could be very close. There are one or two very thorny issues, very tough issues. But I think we're doing very well. We've made a lot of progress today, but really we've made it over the last month. This is not a one-day process deal. This is very complicated stuff.
Complicated indeed. Political analyst and visiting lecturer in war studies at King's College London, Dr. Samir Puri, says it's hard to see when peace might be achieved.
So if you were to predict when this peace process might come to reach its goal of ending the conflict, well, I guess the question is, how long is a piece of string? I think the history of negotiations that take place during hostilities, there's quite a lot of examples in recent and ancient history. It just shows that these things are quite meandering, and it could be any length of time. But if you were to predict, you would say that there are at least 2.5 more years, nearly 3 years of Donald Trump in the White House. That means Vladimir Putin has got a sympathetic ear in the White House, because Trump has always been quite open to listening to the Russian perspective for that duration of time. And one would then sensibly conclude that if Putin wants an off-ramp, he can probably take it in the next couple of years at any stage. Because Trump, of course, says he has a commitment to ending the bloodshed, also wants his credentials for his Nobel Peace Prize. He's been very vocal about that claim. And ending Russia's invasion of Ukraine would be the centerpiece of his claim for a European-granted prize, having ended this biggest war in Europe since World War II.
The peace proposal under discussion includes 20 points. These include that Ukraine's sovereignty will be reaffirmed, a full and unquestionable non-aggression agreement between Russia and Ukraine, and that the United States, NATO and European countries will provide Ukraine with security guarantees. However, the two sides can't agree on the future of the Donetsk region, one of two regions which comprise Donbass. Russian forces already control nearly all of Luhansk, the other Donbass region. Putin wants Ukraine to withdraw from the roughly 5,000 square kilometres of Donetsk, which Russian forces have so far not managed to take on the battlefield in the face of fierce Ukrainian resistance. President Zelensky has said he sees no reason to gift Mr. Putin the land. Dr. Puri says these are not small issues, whatever President Trump says.
In terms of the distance between the negotiating positions of the two sides, the Americans, if you were to believe them at face value in terms of what they're putting out as commentary, is that the gap is narrowing. It's narrowing to a few difficult-to-resolve issues, some of which we can well assume would relate to the territorial status of the Donbass region. But I think the reality is that if you were to ask the two sides, the answer might be very different. And in particular, Volodymyr Zelensky, Ukraine's president, has put out a number of tweets that have indicated that there is still a lot of daylight between the two sides, between his negotiating team and the Russian negotiating team.
President Zelensky says surrendering full control of Donetsk would give Russia a platform to launch assaults deeper into Ukraine. He fears Russia would rearm after any peace deal and at some point use Donetsk to sweep westwards.
Ukraine is interested in achieving results. As of today, we cannot say that the result is sufficient. The military discussed certain issues seriously and substantively, sensitive political matters, possible compromises, and the necessary meeting of leaders have not yet been sufficiently worked out.
Dr. Puri says Europe is standing up for Ukraine when the US has been less supportive.
One of the biggest mistakes in assessing the European role is just to say, well, they've been sidelined because Trump is this big beast of a president who rules the roost. But actually what's happened is the Europeans have emerged as the principal guarantors of sort of longevity of support to Ukraine. And by that, the people like Keir Starmer, Merz and Macron have stood shoulder to shoulder with Zelensky, promising their contribution to security guarantees, but also making sure, almost advocating for, you know, their clients in court, if you like, to use that analogy, in the eyes of the American administration, that Ukraine's needs can't be just ignored. And I think that's a really important point. The Europeans are quite directly representing Zelensky and Ukraine's need to have security guarantees and amplifying that need. So that otherwise, if it was just Zelensky's voice, it, I don't think, would be heard in the White House.
He says with so many moving parts in play and concessions that neither side is willing to give, peace remains a way off.
It's extremely difficult to imagine finding a formula that would allow the Ukrainians and the Russians to walk away from these talks, both saying that they've won to their own domestic populations.
Alan Lee, SBS News.
Hot takes, heartaches, and South Asian stories that hit home for Australians. This is SBS Spice.
And while gendered violence is also a universal problem, it affects South Asian communities in a very, very particular way. And if we cannot tease out the culturally specific ways that are cause and effect for this type of violence, then there is little hope to understand resistances or to counter it.
Curious to hear more? Tune into SBS Spice on the SBS website or wherever you get your podcasts.